Welcome to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Each week we will aim to share conversations with a variety of contributors reflecting on a particular aspect of our life and witness in these days. And just to clarify, these are being remotely recorded within the current guidelines. This is a brand new initiative, so please do share this with others in your congregation or via social media, and make sure you subscribe to receive future episodes. We hope to be releasing one episode each Wednesday. My name is Rick Hill. I'm the Discipleship Development Officer for the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, and I will be your host for this podcast. But today I'm delighted to be joined by three guests who will each share perspectives of how they have been responding both as ministers and as congregations to the recent lockdown due to the coronavirus. So I want to welcome Steve McNee, Catherine Viner and Nigel Craig. So folks, why don't you introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about yourself and the congregations you minister in. We're going to go south of the border first to Stephen and then Catherine and Nigel. So Stephen, tell us about yourself.
Hey Rick, everybody. My name's Stephen. I'm currently serving in two congregations in County Monaghan, Ballyalbany and Glennon. Ballyalbany would be the top of the town of Monaghan. We have fairly young, vibrant congregation there, lots of young families. And then Glennon is a smaller countryside church with a very, very warm heart. And I've been here for about 6 years.
Brilliant. Catherine?
Hi there, Rick. I'm Catherine Viner, Minister of Malone, which is a congregation on the busy Lisburn Road in Belfast. And we would be a congregation made up of all ages, most of whom live nearby in the Malone area and live and work mostly in Belfast, some in Dublin, some in London. And there are currently many in our congregation who are working in the health service, education and IT at this time.
Nigel?
Good morning. Nigel Craig, married to Antonia, a minister in Belmont Church, which is located in East Belfast, has about 400 plus families. And prior to that, I was a minister in County Donegal for 9 years.
Brilliant. So a real mix and diversity in the conversation here today. Nigel, sticking with you, can you describe maybe even on a personal level, your feelings as the coronavirus has continued to escalate over the last few weeks, and maybe specifically when you realised that gatherings and activities in the church were going to be ceasing?
Yeah, I think first a sense of disorientation, watching the news unfold and asking, is this really happening? And I suppose the slow realisation that this was going to have significant impact on our activities and our services. A growing concern for elderly people within the congregation, and particularly those who are vulnerable, for example, those who are undergoing treatment. So my wife, Antonia, she's undergoing treatment at this time, so she fits into the vulnerable category. And within our congregation, similar to what Catherine was saying there, we've quite a number of people who are on the front line working in hospital surgeries and pharmacies, so concerned about them also.
And what did that sort of initially look like for you, Nigel, in terms of trying to respond to that, or even responding maybe even before the lockdown or around the lockdown? How did that shape your ministry?
Well, being Presbyterians, we decided to set up a subcommittee or a task group. And I must admit, initially, we were a little vexed over what activities we should be maintaining and which we should be stopping. Now, following the announcement from the Prime Minister on St. Patrick's Day and also correspondence from Trevor Gribben and so on, those decisions were, I suppose, made for us. But admittedly, Belmont has a very good pastoral network. Members look out for one another. Elders are good with their districts. Have a great pastoral worker. So that's been good. I suppose the bigger challenge is for me personally trying to get acquainted with the latest technology such as Zoom, YouTube and live streaming. To be honest with you, I think I feel more at home in the Greek text of the Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom than I do with a lot of modern technology.
Okay. Stephen, you reached lockdown a little earlier south of the border. So what did that look like? I think that came maybe towards the end of a week, maybe coming up to Sunday worship. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so in a sense, my initial reaction to the virus has, sadly, with lots of things in the world, it's far away. It's nowhere near Ireland or the UK at the time, but then rapidly that changed. So I was very much, like Nigel, disorientated and even just disheartened, thinking, what will this mean for congregational life? So yeah, in the south, we had some decisions made for us by the government. Our schools were closed the week before, schools in the UK and in the north. So in a sense, there was a lot of things already put in place for us. So that was the, I think, Thursday, the 12th of March, that the schools were announced to close. So I called together the Kirk sessions that evening, just to respond as quickly as possible and to communicate that. We had to make a decision. Will we continue to meet on the Sunday coming? We decided that we would, but we have a great team of technicians within the church, and they were able to set up very quickly a very simple live stream facility for us, and we tried to get that word out. So numbers did drop on Sunday, but it was actually really good to see those who did come. Kirk session met together, and we decided that we would write to the congregation for those who wouldn't be on social media or WhatsApp or any other messaging group like that. And we just got the word out so quickly to say, we're still here for you. Pastorally, we are wanting to be there for you. Services will be streamed, CDs, DVDs will be made available for you. And if there's anything that we can do for you in terms of picking up prescriptions or doing shopping, please do let us know. And just like Nigel, we have a very caring group of people in our church. And so contact has been maintained for the last number of weeks. And it's been really encouraging that way. So yeah, we just got together, sent out a letter, and made ourselves known and present on social media ever since.
And how do people in your congregations respond to that? You know, did you get a sense? What was there conversations coming back? What did that look like?
Yeah, so I think people's reactions were good and positive. They were happy to see that we were being proactive. They were happy to see that they knew what was going on. It wasn't just filtered round people just saying, oh, I think we've heard this is happening in Ballyalbany, or it's not happening in Ballyalbany. So in a sense, it kept the lines of communication open, and I think it really made everybody feel valuable.
There
is always the temptation in church where cliques are formed and we groups are in the know. So in a sense, I think it really has done a great deal of good for us as a church, where everybody feels valued, everybody has been contacted or heard what's going on.
So that came almost from the writing of a letter. People actually don't receive as many letters anymore, so maybe
exactly.
There's an appreciation of that, perhaps, or a personal approach.
Absolutely, because in a sense it shows that there was thought, time and care with that. So I think everybody had something tangible to hold in their hands. It seemed very official. And then people's reactions to our social media presence has been really good, and it's been really helpful. People who might have been disengaged from church over a long period of time seems to be re-engaging as well.
Interesting. Okay.
So that's been good.
Well, that's really encouraging to hear. It's interesting just how the personal approach, you know, it's easy to neglect that. Maybe I'm just exposing my weakness as an elder here, but we were encouraged to be phoning around people in our district over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it's amazing how the conversations of people I've maybe just, for some people, just stood on a doorstep with and don't really know all that well. Actually, there's been, I guess, deeper conversation that's been had, and maybe a depth of relationship growing through this as well. So, and that's really encouraging. We'll move from Monaghan back into Belfast. Catherine, tell us a little bit about what this has looked like in Malone initially.
Well, I suppose initially, I'll be honest, there was a degree of bit of panic and anxiety, you know, as the situation escalated quite quickly. There seemed to be little time to prepare. Everything was very fluid. And no sooner had we considered a response, the situation changed and another response was needed. So I think my real concern and the concern of the elders was that nobody would slip through the net pastorally. And what was effective as a kind of pastoral care before this coronavirus wasn't necessarily going to be effective in the midst of the coronavirus, because half of my elders would be over 70. I hope I'm not disclosing anything personal there that they don't want disclosed, but suddenly realized that the elder system wasn't going to be enough. So we set up a buddy system.
Okay.
And identified those within our congregation who we felt would be who would be or may become particularly isolated because maybe they had limited family living nearby. And so we got younger members of the congregation, and I was so encouraged by how many volunteered, and we buddied them up with a member of the congregation who lived nearby, who we knew as circumstances change would be increasingly isolated and maybe vulnerable. So that's been really encouraging, putting that together.
So has this been people serving in new ways then, or new people being drawn in to serve like this?
Both. I've had people on the periphery of our congregation willing to volunteer and get involved. I've had students coming back from university. Obviously, their courses have ended, and they can't maybe get involved in helping with NHS or any other way in the community, but this is one way they can. So that was really encouraging. We also hand-delivered 1,000 flyers to the homes in the streets around Malone. Wow. And again, there's a team. A couple of Saturdays ago, came down, met in the church car park, and then we just went out from there into the streets and delivered these. So it was just trying to be as creative as possible, as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But that initially, it was a sense really of just panic and anxiety. You know, God, what do you want us to do? And how can we do it, you know, as best we can?
There's a sense that all three of you have articulated that you're all learning, relearning to minister in ways that you have never had to, or you've been forced to minister in a brand new way.
I think it's not just adjusting to how we minister. I think it's as well adjusting to how we are as church.
Yeah.
And that has taken a wee while to just kind of let things settle and see what really we need to do. I suppose I was wary of knee-jerk reactions, where we put a lot of effort into something and suddenly a week later find actually we put all that effort in, but the situation has changed. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to be wise and know, should we respond in this way immediately or should we just wait a while? And that I don't know about Stephen and Nigel, but that's been a real frustration to know what exactly to do.
Yeah, certainly with I can echo that with Catherine, because I've got a great team of people in both congregations who you can rely upon, but really over these last few weeks I've really had to rely upon other people. There's still that temptation to treat ministry as a solo act. But it is now really saying, okay, if we've grown together spiritually, if we have ministered together over these last number of years, now let's really do this together and share the responsibility, because not one individual can care for a congregation or community on their own. So in a sense, it has revealed to me some places where I am maybe quite selfish, where I'm maybe just doing things on my own. And I have weaknesses, so certainly it has been calling up elders, calling up members of the church, say, like, would you maybe do this? Would you help me with this? I just need your support here, or I think you would be great at maybe making contact with this person or with this group, and just, you know, use your gifts and abilities in this way too.
That's really helpful, Stephen. I'd love to, I mean, you've talked about the temptation for ministry to be a solo act. I guess there's a temptation in our churches at times for us to turn inward in times of crisis. Nigel, I wonder, would you be able to tell us a little bit about what you were doing in the space around school assemblies, about looking outwards in that way?
Probably like most congregations, we've a link historically with a local primary school. In our case, it's Belmont Primary. And I suppose my role there had been not only in the Board of Governors, but also to go into the school once a month to do assembly. And I thought to myself, well, we've the opportunity of doing a virtual assembly. So being the tech wizard that I am not, I decided to try to record a few videos and put them online, first of all on Facebook and then on a YouTube channel, just of a virtual assembly, telling kids stories and so on. I've been really encouraged by the response, not just folks from our own congregation, but wider than that, people tuning in. Again, I think it was maybe Catherine was saying about the need to be creative and to think quickly, and that's a big challenge at this time.
I mean, it might be helpful as you listen to this for you to know, listeners, that this podcast forms part of a wider campaign within the PCI right now called These Three Remain. And you can find out more at presbyterianireland.org/these-three-remain. And on that link, you will find a whole series of resources, including daily devotions, prayer points for this time, also a list of congregations and links to congregations that are providing some sort of online services in these days, and obviously this podcast and some blogs of stories of good practice as well. So would encourage you to search for that and to go and find that as well. Folks, just to continue the conversation, we've heard some things about some positivity, perhaps some encouragement in the days of difficulty, and we do acknowledge the anxiety and the fear that's out there. But do you have any good news stories or positive examples of how you've been sensing God still being at work among you in these days? Stephen, do you want to go first now? Because you hinted at that earlier on.
Yeah, so I think just in practical ways, there's people within the church who have really stepped up to show care and love to other members in the church and in the community. There's just people making phone calls or sending text messages that wouldn't ordinarily happen. Mm-hmm. And people are just showing a genuine heart for people in this crisis, especially those who are maybe senior. In the midst of all this nastiness as well, it's lovely to hear that we had a young family in our church and they just had a baby last week in the midst of the whole thing. So our church celebrated a birth of our newest member within the church too. Also, there's a food bank in Monaghan Town with Hope Cafe. Crown Jesus Ministries has a presence in the town with a food bank ministry, a open door coffee facility, and then a youth program as well. And we've reached out to them, and we are now using our church hall as a food bank base,
okay,
where people can, whenever they're in their limited outside time, if they are doing a shop, that they can just swing round with our doors open on two hours in the day during the week, and they can just drop in their food. And then that means people from Hope can come in and grab the food. We've got fridge freezer space at the minute because there's nothing in the church hall. So it's good just to use our building in that way. And we can just, in a sense, have an overflow area for food bank for people who are really struggling financially at the minute so they can be fed.
Brilliant. That's really encouraging. Nigel, what about you?
Probably like a lot of folks, I vowed coming up to Easter that I was going to cut down on my engagement with Facebook. But
it's been the opposite.
Exactly. But I've really been encouraged by the number of people, many of whom I imagine have little or no contact with church and maybe don't profess faith in Christ, who've been engaging with those posts. And that's been really encouraging. It sort of makes me think of, you know, what Paul wrote in Philippians 1 about, I want you to know, brothers, that what's happened has really served to advance the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I don't wish to minimize the difficulties that this crisis is creating. But if we can also look at it in the sense of God's providence and what God is doing through all of this in terms of advancing the gospel of his son. I suppose another blessing that's come out of this time is that the number of meetings that we've cut down on.
Yeah.
So much time, and I'm sure Catherine and Stephen would agree with me here, so much time as ministers is expended on preparing for meetings, chairing meetings, dealing with the outcome of meetings and so on, maybe being considered as a CEO of the local church, which very often... The things that are, I suppose, key to ministry, that is people preaching and prayer, they're very often squeezed to the margins. So I'm encouraged that this has given us a chance to maybe pull back from some of that and even to reconnect people, whether that's digitally or on the phone. And maybe just one word of caution. I think God has given us this moment to slow down as churches. Now, admittedly, there are some people who are on the front lines and this has been very, very difficult for them. But for many people, there are less activities happening. And I think maybe people should maybe not be so concerned about even having online meetings, but maybe sense that the principles of silence and Sabbath and so on are to be encouraged at this time.
Yeah, that's helpful. Pushes towards spiritual disciplines in these times as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm even wondering, Nigel, then, as you share on YouTube or digital platforms, does it change your preaching? Does it change the lens in terms of who you think or imagine your audience to be then? Or do you have any reflections on that?
One advantage is you don't see people sleeping during the sermon.
wouldn't happen for you.
Now, they very may well be in their beds watching or following the live stream services. But I do value, I don't mean eyeballing people, but I do value looking at people in the eye when I'm speaking, because I'm sure Catherine and Stephen do too.
Yeah.
So that aspect is missing. Just there on Sunday past, I made a bit of an error. I thought I was live streaming from our church Facebook page when actually I was live streaming from my own private Facebook page. So little hitches like that, the teething problems that we're having at this time, but people are very understanding.
I did hear of someone conducting worship from their living room, and a delivery driver knocked in the window as they were halfway through their call to worship. So just be aware of that. Catherine, what about you in terms of positive examples, good news stories? How's God been at work?
Well, I think similar to Nigel, it's been about trying to discern God's providence in all of this. We were about to run an alpha course with Low Memorial, and we had people signed up to do the alpha course and to help lead, and then suddenly all that stopped. And that was really disheartening, and there were a lot of why questions. And I don't have answers to those. But at the same time, I see that God is doing other things, and that on the other hand has been encouraging. There's a lot of prayer happening, and that's been great to hear. So many prayer initiatives. I know our podcast, our Malone Church podcast, is reaching beyond our congregation to people who wouldn't consider going to service on a Sunday. You know, I personally know a few people who've listened and have yet to come in faith to faith in Jesus. But it's great to know that they're telling me that, oh, I listened to your podcast. It's whether they listen to the next one. That'll be the big test.
And was that a new, but then even, sorry, Catherine, was the podcast a new thing in response to this? Okay.
Yeah. I was just conscious that we have a real spectrum of different people from at different stages of life in our congregation, and not all of them would be able to maybe access online, a church service online and live feed. So I felt if we did a podcast, it would be more accessible to more of our congregation. I'm also conscious in our congregation there are people who are getting in their car every day at different hours of the day, driving to the health service, and a 15-minute podcast is something they could listen to in the car. Mm-hmm. And if that's what I can give them as blessing and encouragement and some God's teaching, then I felt that was a wee bit more accessible.
Yeah. I mean, let's reflect on that together just for a moment about the need for us to balance between the digital response and also the where we were earlier in the conversation around the personal approach as well. What are some of your reflections on that?
I suppose my concern has been digital fatigue. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt it a few times. I've just had to turn off the phone and leave the phone at the house and go out for a walk. My one daily mode of exercise. But I worry about digital fatigue. I'm personally bombarded with WhatsApp messages, links to YouTube videos, Messenger, Facebook. And we just have to be careful we don't cause people to switch off, especially if they are working online all week, working from home, homeschool, playing online games, watching Netflix. We need to be careful the church doesn't become another stimulation. Mm-hmm. Among many stimulations that are out there on our screens.
Yeah, and that ties in with what you said earlier, Catherine, around responding to the season that we're in as well, and knowing how to, the phrase I keep hearing is this is a marathon, not a sprint, so actually pacing our effort too, not signing up to things that actually we can't, commit to in the long haul.
Yeah, and I think as well what you and Nigel were saying earlier about, I know a few of my congregation are treating this as an opportunity to practice the spiritual disciplines of silence, stillness, meditating the scripture, listening to God in prayer. And I know as a Reformed tradition, we don't necessarily tend to emphasize these disciplines, but they're biblical and Christ-like, and I think they're very much for this season.
Stephen, Nigel, anything around this balance, this tension that we're trying to...
Yeah, well, with our live stream services, like, they've been really, really well received, just like Catherine, where there's been many people who are not engaged with our congregation or and within the community, and they're watching in. I always maybe try and challenge our folks at church to say, like, invite a friend to church. And sometimes that's hard. I have had so many people in our church who have sent out links to invite them to join us for church, and that has really worked well. And then the conversations that people are having now, be it through their workplace, be it through phone calls, they're saying, well, did you join us for church on Sunday? And they said, yeah, well, yeah, we did. And this is now just opening up a whole thing. And we decided that we would do our live streaming from the church building, because in a sense, God willing, if there are people who are drawn in by this season, they have some sense of familiarity if they walk into our building, that they can see, oh, yes, this is where the minister stood, this is where the music takes place and things like that. So that's been very good. But you're right in terms of the balance. There's a lot of young families within the congregation here in Ballyalbany. So a generation of podcasts and online sermons is a norm for so many.
Yes.
And that's good. They have the attention span to sit down for a 30-minute, 40-minute hour type worship experience online. Be it on a YouTube channel or a MP3, but for the older congregation, it is such a major change for them. I was just talking to one of our senior members this morning, and she is really missing gathering with God's people to worship. So even just to talk to her and to furnish her with a CD of the service, and even just to talk through, well, did you listen to the service? Yeah. Well, what comfort did you get, or what was God telling you? And we had a great conversation about that. In terms of being face to face with people on a Sunday morning, you can see reactions. Yeah. You can then go to people and say, look, are you okay, or were you maybe stirred today, or is there something that you want to talk about? That's what I miss.
I wonder if it's helpful for us to dwell on that season a little bit as well, to say that there are elements. I think I'm probably an optimist, so I've jumped initially to saying, oh, here's the opportunities and here's, you know, the new ways and the fresh rhythms. But actually, you know, reflecting in our home on Sunday morning, the first Sunday that we, I guess, streamed live worship on the RTV was quite exciting, and it was innovative, and we enjoyed it. But actually, at the end of Sunday, I felt quite flat, which was our second Sunday of this. And I'm now thinking, what's this going to look like 7 or 8? We also had a two-year-old who was not playing ball at the time as well. And so the idea of family worship was not clean cut, let me just say. But actually, there is a sense that we are missing something right now as well. Yeah. And God is still working and doing new things, you know.
I think for some people, this is a season of grief. You know, I felt an overwhelming sense of grief when we had to close the church halls and the sanctuary, and we formed the congregation. I felt an overwhelming sense of grief at the loss of place to meet, the loss of freedom to gather. Like I said, we had to cancel and postpone the Alpha course. We just established prayer ministry. It's just, I personally have grieved for these things.
And that's now, and I suppose we're looking ahead, and this could be a few weeks, and maybe society is continuing, things are continuing to change. So as we as you minister into that context, you know,
I suppose I found it particularly difficult as a minister, as a pastor, not being able to exercise that ministry of presence. You know, to sit down beside somebody, to shake a hand, to give a hug, and so on. I think many of us are tactile people, and it forms a significant part of who we are and how we minister. And not being able to exercise that ministry, I mean, I'm thinking particularly of people who sadly contract the coronavirus and are either self-isolating at home, or those who become very ill and they're in hospital in special units without family, without close friends, and we can't go to visit them as ministers. So that's really, really challenging. And I'm just, I suppose, trying to get used to that. Catherine talked about grieving, and there's maybe a sense of pastoral grief there that we can't be with people physically. Having said that, anyone that I've phoned thus far has been very, very grateful. Or even a phone call, a sign of interest.
Okay, folks, we're going to round this conversation off shortly, but for the final question, I just wanted to ask each of you if there was maybe one piece of scripture that is or has been key for you personally in these days. Nigel, why don't you kick off?
Okay, I sensed the Lord prompted me to preach through Paul's letter to the Philippians in this season. As you probably know, it's a letter written from isolation, as it were, from a prison cell in Rome. And Paul, knowing that he might soon die, and yet this letter pulsates with joy and gratitude and love and so on. So over the next few months, I'm looking forward to spending time with Paul. And although I don't have a specific scripture, I'm thinking there, for example, of Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then a few verses later, this is just great. I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I learned the secret of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Thanks. Catherine?
I mean, aside from what I've been preaching, the series on Luke's gospel, I personally am just hooked to Psalm 42. It's my grief psalm, particularly, you know, the words which says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I'd go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. And, you know, why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. So just those are words that just speak to my soul at this time, along with Romans 8, which I suppose is the confession of my faith at the minute, that nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Those two passages I just keep going back to again and again. I can't seem to get enough of them.
Stephen?
Yeah, so I have actually suspended the preaching series that I planned leading up to Easter, and I'm just immersing our folks in the Psalms. But the verse and a section of scripture that I've been turning to constantly over the last 3 weeks is 1 Peter 1. And just that section where it says in verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance. And just everything just seems to be dead in the water at the minute. Everything just seems to be put on hold or stopped. And everybody, to use that word again, everybody's grieving over something. But we as God's people, we have a living hope right now. We've been given a gospel promise through the resurrection, but also we have something greater to come, this inheritance. And it goes on to say that, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come that your faith may be proved genuine. And the thing that's really exciting me at the moment is with people in this area, I'm seeing how salvation and their faith is springing into life. How people who might have been saved but have been stuck, but they're now really living out their faith. And also those who maybe thought they had a faith, maybe they thought by being part of a Christian community but yet hasn't come to a saving faith, this has been really challenging for them to think, wow, do I actually have this living hope in Jesus? So it's been helpful to me through this testing, trying time to see what Christ is doing in my life and in the life of the others around me.
Well, I want to say a huge thank you to each of you for contributing to this podcast and to this experiment. I think a lot of us are building these things as we fly it, and that's definitely true for this podcast. So thank you for so helpfully sharing and insightfully doing so with us today, to each of you, and blessings to each of you as you continue to seek the minister in these days. And Nigel will continue to pray for your wife too, as she receives treatment right now as well. So thank you, folks, for contributing in this way today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks very much, Rick.
And thanks to each of you for listening to These Three Remain, stories of faith, hope and love from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. To access more resources such as daily devotions, prayer points and blogs to equip you in your life and witness in these days, visit presbyterianireland.org/these-three-remain. See you next time.